Coming up on Reflections.
And I would say that you owe it to yourself to take that risk to really live at least once in your life.
Hi, I'm Rick Higgins, and welcome to your favorite storytelling podcast about real-life people and real-life struggles where folks had to push through something and come out the other side, well, a changed person. Reflections is part of the Mastering the Second Half Network, and our companion YouTube channel, The Pirate Wanderer, is all about empowerment, as is this podcast, and in fact, it's all about empowering you. And yes, everything we do, especially here on the podcast, is meant to entertain, to get you through your daily commute without going insane. But these stories are also ticklers. They're kind of meant to get into your head, to get you thinking about your own possibilities, your own struggles, and what you might look like coming out the other side. Pretty sneaky, right? Pat Wetzel is a podcast host, author, and survivor, and I mean that in the very literalist sense of the word. And when she told me her story, I wasn't expecting her salvation, if you will.
I'm Pat Wetzel. I'm the host and creator of the podcast, Bump in the Road. We're going into our fourth year. I just published my first book, Bump in the Road, 15 Stories of Courage, Hope, and Resilience, and it's the first of a series. This is really fun to be here because I'm always listening to everyone else's story. And today I will tell you one of my own. I'm going to go back a few decades, if that sounds okay. And fresh out of business school, I graduated from Wharton and I had an amazing set of corporate jobs. But I was so tired. Something wasn't right. I couldn't swallow. I was having double vision. And I wrote it off to just insanely long working hours. But I connected with a neurologist at Yale who finally diagnosed me with myasthenia gravis, a very rare neurologic disease. The prognosis was not very good. About a third of the people died. About a third of the people would be horribly disabled. And about a third might get better over time. It was a little fuzzy and uncertain. Well, my ex and my in-laws rallied around me. They were my love in my life. I don't know what I would have done without them and their love and their support. It was really significant. Fast forward about a decade, and my ex has now run off with his nurse. My beloved in-laws have told me that his unhappiness must be my fault, and they cut me off without as much as a hug or a goodbye. Life could go on, but not with me. I was so alone. I mean, I just moved to Pennsylvania, a place I never wanted to live. The sky was gray. My heart was broken. I was in a place that just did not suit me in any way, and even my dog was dying. So it took some years to navigate the difficult road of divorce. At one point, I took a cross-country trip, kind of wondering, where should I go? What should I do? In San Francisco, I rented a white Mustang convertible, put the top down and drove up through wine country with the wind blowing through my hair, the sun shining down, and just enjoying every moment of it. This was back in the early 90s. And wine country was not the alcoholic adult Disneyland it is now. It was a little obscure, a little run down in places. And Calistoga was at the northern end of the valley. I stopped there and decided to stay for the night. There was an airport that intersected the main road that ran right through town. And they had a sign for glider rides. So I thought, what the heck, I'll go for a ride. And I did, but it didn't really impact me that much. But it did plant a seed that would later become significant. I returned back east. I waded through the ugliness of two more years of divorce proceedings. I think I cried for a full year after everything was said and done. But I'd heard about a group of lawyers that flew sailplanes on weekends. So I invited myself out for a three-day weekend, and I flew every day. And I was totally hooked. Flying had touched my soul like nothing else did. Now, sailplanes, for the uninitiated, are high-tech gliders, if you will, 15 to 20 meters of white fiberglass wing that can go hundreds of miles without any engine. They can fly to altitudes of well over 30,000 feet. I mean, it's just really, it's a very magical and somewhat esoteric sport. The essence of soaring is that you want to follow a course, race around it, and hopefully make it back to your main airport. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, I ended up buying a plane. Her name was Whiskey Oscar. Whiskey Oscar were her contest letters. And one summer, Whiskey Oscar and I decided to go cross country. As a result of that trip, I ended up moving to the Tahoe area, which is one of the best places in the world to fly. I kept my plane at Minden, and it was just aviation hog heaven. One day, flying over Tahoe, I had an amazing experience, and I had many amazing experiences flying, but this one just sticks with me like nothing else. I was about 15, 16,000 feet over those beautiful emerald waters of Tahoe, snow on the mountains, beautiful sunny day with sun just streaming in through the canopy. And I turned the plane, and at the end of my wings was a little winglet, and just like you see in a commercial plane. And I turned, and that winglet found a little bubble of air. And I balanced on it. And we rode up through the sky, thousands of feet, balancing on this bubble of air over this magnificent earthbound earthscape of Lake Tahoe and white-crusted mountains. The experience was really just outside anything you can imagine. The sun streaming through the canopy, the amazing water. It was a moment of eternity. It was as if I had stepped into a different, magnificent, timeless dimension. I have no idea how long it lasted, but it gave me a glimpse into something much greater. And that experience stays with me always. Baron Hilton, who founded the Hilton Cup and Hilton Hotels, used to run an international competition in the Nevada desert from his ranch. And he wrote a book. And in his book, he says that sailplanes are a craft fueled only by the mind of the pilot. What happens is you navigate the invisible energy of the sky to get from one point to another. It's really a great metaphor for life. It's a metaphor about taking chances, getting out of your comfort zone, and most of all about trust, trusting the energy of the air, trusting your experience and ability, and trusting that life can be an adventure if you make it so.
Now, before we get more into Pat, I wanted to remind you of a couple of things. One, as I mentioned earlier, we are also a YouTube channel. It seems to be about travel and entertainment, but basically it's about, well, getting you out there through our footsteps, trying to understand possibilities. And the other thing is, we have a newsletter. It sort of encompasses everything, all of the travel stories, all of the empowerment stories, all of, well, everything. Just go to rickhiggins.com, links in the story notes below, and a handy pop-up will appear to guide you to where you need to be. And now, back to Pat.
I want to go up on a plane now.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's an incredible sport.
I can imagine. I used to be a scuba diver, so I was trying to equate a lot of this with just when you were talking about just floating. It just, I think I know the feeling, but it must be completely different when you have so much more visibility.
Yeah, a sailplane has a canopy that goes over the top of your head and everything. So you have amazing visibility. And the scenery from, 18,000 feet or so is really stunning. On a good day at Tahoe, you can go over 30,000 without too much difficulty.
I got to ask, because you mentioned a second ago, hopefully getting back to your airport. What happens when you don't?
You find out if you have any friends.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's someone with a long driveway and you just sort of slide it in? Or?
Oh, no, you need a little more than that. You often land in strange fields and place it maybe in a dry lake. Dry lakes can be dangerous because they're not always very dry. But for example, I once landed in a hunting club. I was okay. The plane was fine. But I had to, one, find out where I was because this was in the days before GPS, if you could imagine such a thing. I had a hike out. I had to put up with all the comments about crashing in a field, which I did not. I very masterfully managed to land this thing in a short field. And I called back to the airport to see if, some people would come out, help me disassemble the plane and get it out of there. Because what happens is the wings go in and they have spars that interlock and you bolt them in with these massive bolts. So it can be taken apart as well. And it's a little tricky to do that in uneven terrain, where you really didn't plan to be. But those sorts of incidents make you realize you need to be nice to everybody at the airfield always, because you never know when you will need a retrieve.
You started your story with an unfortunate diagnosis. I'm happy to see you were in the latter third of not horrible things happening.
Yes. I don't take it for granted. I still get tired sometimes, but I live a pretty normal life.
If somebody was in a similar situation to you, what do you tell them when they can't see the other side? You found something of great joy that seems to be like an incredible part of your life. But what about people who don't have that yet? Maybe who can't envision it yet?
I didn't have it when I went into this. I didn't know what laid on the other side. I was utterly abandoned, alone, in a place I didn't want to be. I had no future prospects. I didn't know what would happen. And I put together some very random events that led to a very different path in life than I ever expected. And I think the thing is, you just have to hang in there, and it's very hard. I actually call that phase of my life wish, death wish. All my relationships were gone. Everything that defined my life was gone. I didn't really have anything to live for, if you will. And I wasn't suicidal or anything like that, but just life was pretty bleak. And yet I'd stumbled upon this incredible sport that led me in directions I never would have imagined. And it fulfilled that yearning I had to really live. And I would say that you owe it to yourself to take that risk to really live at least once in your life.
A lot of people, you, I, everyone I seem to be talking to lately, has this barrier, this some event in their life that they've pushed through, and they hit the other side, and they're transformed, they're reborn, they feel better. Do you think that's the end? Is it possible to push through and transform from being in a good place to another good place?
I have gone through many bumps in the road. I've went through 6 years of cancer treatment. I had a business partner steal the IP from my business that caused it to close down. During COVID, a film project that I had rolling had raised over $1 million, had commitments for money to fund it, fell apart. I've hit many bumps. I think the one thing that I have learned going through so many different situations is, don't know what lies ahead, but you do get to create it. Now, you may not know what you're going to create at this point in time, but just put some energy into that equation. Keep moving forward one way or the other, no matter how hard it is. Put one foot in front of the other and be open and be curious. And things will start to reform and come together. It does not happen instantly. It is not very pretty or easy often, but I think that simple perseverance is invaluable.
If you could go back and talk to yourself, what would you say?
I would certainly say it will be okay, but I would also say you're pretty amazing. You know that the world may not have been very kind to you, but forget the world. You are doing some really cool stuff, and it shows enormous courage and confidence, and good for you. You go, girl.
You can find Pat at, and by the way, I absolutely love her brand name. Her link is bumpintheroad.us and can be found in the story notes below. I really enjoyed talking to Pat, and as you might have noticed in her story, she found an unusual passion, something that just let her let go of everything else, and it is sort of infused into every other crevice of her life. And honestly, sometimes that's all it takes, just one small change. If you would like to share your story on Reflections, just head over to rickhiggins.com, find the contact us page, and at the very top you'll see a little button that says I'd like to tell my story. Just fill out the form, send it to us, and we'll take it from there, because I am seriously interested in listening to your story. Thanks for listening.